Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we're very grateful that by the Holy Spirit you're here to set yourself at the head of the church to raise the dead, and now that this one thing that Adam could not do, nor Eve, to stretch forth their hands and live forever, it was not possible, but today it is possible, and we're glad that the interdict on that has been removed, and the tree of life is in full view for those or whosoever will may come, those who have received light and life in this last hour, bringing us to the resurrection. We're very grateful. We certainly are, Lord. We're encouraged. Our faith has come to that place, Lord, where we simply don't believe for these other things, though we do in their measure, but now we believe for the great thing, the immortality, this life which will go on and on and on, taking us up into the eternities. Appreciate that. Be with us in the study and the reading of your word. We'll be careful to give you the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Well, it's nice to be here, and sure enjoy the singing. We don't need a big crowd to have good singing, do we? That's fine. I like it very, very much. Now, we've been looking at a man that can turn on the light, and I'm just going to go back to page 18 for a little bit here. And pick up two paragraphs, 91 and 92. Now, and don't forget about Columbus. Now, if you keep that in prayer, I believe that it's ordained of the Lord to have that meeting, and I believe God will do something about it. I really do. And so you just keep that in mind with faith. Now, we find that the wise men of old followed the God-given substance. Now, that is what appeared of the word to them at that hour. It was a God-given substance. They followed the word of God to the light because it was the word that brought life. You notice you're finding here that light and life and word are synonymous in this particular instance. He's saying they are. Now you say, how did they follow? Well, they were kind of magi, as we understand. And we find out that Balaam, the prophet, back in Numbers 24:17, Balaam was a kind of magi himself. He was a prophet, truly. And he prophesied here and said a star would rise out of Jacob. And when these wise men saw the word of God, said a star would rise out of Jacob. See, that's a God-given substance. They followed that little God-given token. One place he calls it a substance, one he calls it a token. You see? And they're both very correct and beautifully put. One there were substance, it was something you could actually physically come in contact with and have a relationship with. It was right there. Then you see the token, as the Spirit was a seal, it was that which led them and just sealed them in to get to the source of eternal life. Eternal life. So, wise men today, who are not blinded by creeds, will follow the God-given spoken words until they see the fullness of the power of God blooming forth in this hour. Now, that's what the wise men did. They didn't give up. They got right there, see, to the fullness. And remember, Christ is the power of God. See? They see it, and they know that it's here in Scripture. God promised it for this day. Now, of course, what he's doing, he's likening those of this hour to the wise, and of course, you get the virgin, wise and foolish. just over here in Malachi, we'll just see something here. The fourth chapter, and it says in the fifth verse, I will send Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord, and he shall turn the heart of the fathers to the children, and the heart of the children to their fathers, lest they come and smite the earth the curse. Now in here you notice the two comings of Elijah, of which number one was John the Baptist, appear here. And he's going to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children. Now, you notice carefully it says, I'm going to send Elijah. All right. Let's go to the book of Luke and the 17th verse says here concerning John the Baptist, and he shall go before him in the spirit and power of Elijah. to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. Now, let's go to John and get the rundown on this. Exactly. And that's beginning at, let's go to John 1:1-8 first. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word is with God, and the Word was God. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him, without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness. Now watch this. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. This was the true light, which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. Now, go to verse 19, the same chapter. And this is a record of John when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem and asked him, "Who are you?" And he confessed and denied not, but confessed, "I am not the Christ." And they asked him, "What then? Are you Elijah?" And he said, "I am not. Are you that prophet?" And he answered, "No." Then said they, "Who are you, that we may give an answer to them that sent us? What sayest thou of thyself?" And he said, "I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as saith the prophet Isaiah." And they which were sent of the Pharisees, they asked him and said unto him, "Why baptizest thou then, if thou be not that Christ, nor Elijah, neither that prophet?" John answered, saying, I baptize with water, but there standeth one among you whom you know not, and he is coming after me," and so on. Now you see, you'll notice in here, according to what Jesus said, that John was a bright and shining light, and you walked in his light for a season. So here was John with his office of a ministry, getting the people excited as to something that was going on, and he was therefore a light. And that light of John led them to the Scripture and to Christ being made manifest in flesh. Now, Scripture that is fulfilled in cases like this is a light, a lesser light, leading to a greater light. John was a light, but he was not the light. He was a lesser light leading to the light. The stars, the three stars that formed one at the time of the Magi, was a lesser light. But it was the light that was a fulfilled word to gain their attention to bring them to the great light. So, if you want to watch this, as Brother Branham speaks of a man turning on the light, you have your two instances which we just brought to your attention. Now, then there's also a scriptural manifestation to catch our attention and lead us to the Word, as in the case of Brother Branham at the end time. It was a lot like John the Baptist. So was he to forerun with the message, the literal second coming of the Lord Jesus Christ, who will be coming back to earth with us in not too long a future. And you'll notice that in Brother Branham's case, he was given a great ministry. And we'll see more of this as we read the message that Brother Branham brought us, how that this was a great light, if the people had received it, to lead them to the greatest light. Now, let's face it. Those that missed John the Baptist missed Christ. Now, I know people are going to say, "Now, hold it. You're going to tell me that you missed William Branham, missed Christ?" Well, that's fine. If you say it that way, you said it for me. Because that's the truth. You know, you're this late in the day, you don't bandy words, you know, and you come right to the point. All right, now we're going to go back to page 26 over here and start reading. Let's see. A little bit here, too. Let me see. I want 135, I guess. He was the light that they claimed to be worshiping. Now, that's the one that John the Baptist was the light to the big light. See? You see? Okay. He was the light that they claimed to be worshiping. They thought that they were worshiping the very God of creation. But they were living and worshiping a glare. And Jesus said, "You worship me in vain, teaching for doctrine the traditions of men and not the word." Now, what were they doing? They had traditionalized the actual word of the prophets to the point where that word was no longer the divinely inspired revelation. Now, that's the way it is. When you change the word, it is no longer the divinely inspired revelation. One word is all you need to throw it into limbo. Now, I don't mean just one word as though one word can do it, because I showed you before I can use a double negative. I use two words. Now, just the other day in the tape, I heard Brother Branham mention the very thing I'm going to tell you now, that the one word is not necessarily just one word. It is changing the substance. See? But only one word can do it. See? That's where you got to watch. Now, they had changed the revealed word. He is the word, and he was the word made manifest. Now, every word's got to be made manifest, or it's no good. I don't care what word it is. It can be a word of promise. That's got to be made manifest. It can be a word of negative promise, of warning and consequences. That's got to be manifest. See? All right. Now you talk about him. The promise was the mighty God should come in flesh. Now, that's the way it's going to be. See? So they were looking at that one that the word spoke of, and John the Baptist came and said, as a light, there is the light. See? Then he began doing the miracles, and he said, this is further light. And what did the light end up by doing? Condemned the whole race. But took out some believers. You follow? Okay, let's keep reading. Now, they ought to have known it. Now you say, well, why should they ought to have known it? Well, what do you want for nickel? I mean, what more do you want? Didn't God one day say to Israel, he said, look, he said, I found a very nice piece of ground here. He said, I took out all the stones. I cultivated and I fertilized it. And I took a beautiful vine for a vineyard. And then he said, the day came, he said, I put my presses ready for the pressing of the grapes and just everything exactly right. And he said, what happened? He said, I got a bunch of sour grapes. Now, you say, what more could I have done? Now, come on. You know, isn't it the strangest thing? We are a bunch of fatalists, almost. Literally a hard-shell Baptist. The best kind, of course. And we believe in predestination right down to the jot and tittle of how many times a flea is going to wink his eye. We're hard. We're a real hard bunch. And yet, you know, we're the only people who see anything. We're the ones who see what God is doing when these others are screaming for God to do something. Now, get my point now. Because the legalist will stand before God and say, oh, didn't I cast out devils? Didn't I do this? And didn't I do that? What am I up here for anyway, being judged? You say, hold it. Remember back in the days of my prophet William Branham, John the Baptist I sent there, with thus saith the Lord, and miracles and signs and wonders and preachments and everything else under heaven? Now listen, you guys are the ones squawking that you should have seen something, that I should have done something for you. You're the ones all the time clamoring, like this nice fellow, Brother Moore, out at the West Coast, who wrote the Herald is coming. Oh, God, send a prophet. Oh, God, send a prophet. Oh, God. Oh, God, send a prophet. So God sent a prophet, William Branham, right in his house, near Jonathan. And when they got finished, next issue. Oh, God, send a prophet. Oh, God, send a prophet.
Now, if he should miss it, which God forbid he misses it. Now, here you and I are a bunch of fatalists. Hardship. And we zero in on the elements. Yeah, we zero right in on the evidence. And we won't be saying anything on Judgment Day about why don't you do this and why don't you do that, the other thing, I mean. You get the picture? You see, these guys are all the time, they want some big thing, and the big thing comes, and they turn it on flare and a fritter. Because God takes the little things and makes them big. Although I must admit, this age, he did some mighty, tremendously big things. See? All right. I hope that can break through everywhere it's heard, see? That it is the Word made manifest. See, now he is the Word, he's manifesting himself, which simply means what he promised in the positive or the negative, he's bringing right to pass here now. So he is manifesting himself through the keeping of his Word. Oh, we have the Word. Why the Word? Everybody can pack a Bible that wants to. But when the Word is vindicated, made manifest, what happens? See, and I got a little footnote. I wrote it here. Now, let's stop right here and realize this is where they stumble. They go to their own history and organization and say, now, this is not so. We have the Bible ourselves. That's all we need. And we can interpret it to get saved, full of the Holy Ghost, and go right to resurrection. Uh-uh. No way. No way. Doesn't work that way. Why say, well, we believe. Yes, sir, they believed all the Word. Well, so to say. Those Pharisees, who could condemn them for not believing? You know, as if they believed nothing of the Word at all. You can't condemn and say, well, they didn't believe the Word at all. They didn't believe the Word for their hour. See, they associated themselves with Moses. Now, the law was until Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The law was given by Moses, and the law was till John. And then John, you got a transition period. You hear what I said? You got a transition period. And what about William Branham? Bet you. Yeah. But they didn't believe the Word for the hour. They were worshiping in a glare of something else. That's the same thing they're doing today. They're keeping up Luther's traditions, Wesley traditions, the rest of them, Pentecost tradition, but what of the hour? The Pharisees were creeping up their traditions, but behind their traditions was the true Word of God coming to shine forth. And when it did, it blinded their eyes. They couldn't see it because they were watching something else. Huh? Everybody fusses about the present. They don't like us for preaching it. But we don't preach it the way people preach it. We preach it different here. We preach it in the context of what is going on now. See? All right. Now, see, they claim to be worshiping the very God that they're making fun of. The same thing has been again today by the same reason, living in the glare instead of the light. Great lights have a shine. All right. Look what darkness we're in today. Look what's going on. Murder, rape, strife. Why it's come to pass. I believe as Billy Graham said in his last meeting, in 10 years from now, every citizen of California will have to pack a gun to protect himself. You can't get enough law enforcement. People's just gone insane. Shooting, murdering, so on. See, it's just gone wild upon the streets. See? It's a day we're living in. Sodomite day, see? But there is a light shining if they'd only look. If they'd only see. Look into the Word and see what's supposed to be in this hour. They would know what is trying to be done. Now they claim they're worshiping that light. So did the others claim they're worshiping that light, Israel, see. But they were worshiping it in a glare of another light instead of the real. In other words, the direct rays of the present illumination and geographical setting and the hour of that sun or that light. They turned it down flat. Now, you notice I said geographical. Also, I could have used the word chronological, which set it in a time element. Creeds and traditions and their blinded condition had turned them from the true light of the promised word. In other words, every promise at any time that's due will have a light attached to it. So it won't take you unawares. The word that God vindicated by Jesus, the light of the world, came and made that word live right exactly through his time, exactly through the day. See, that's your time. Geographically, in the east, time-wise, in its season. Now watch, time-wise. He'll be cut off in the midst of 70 weeks. That's the 70th week. Is that right? Which is 3.5 years of his prophecy. The Messiah would come, the prince, and would prophesy. And 3.5 days of this, then he'd be cut off from the living and make an atonement. That's exactly right. He preached 3.5 years. Now they knew that. Don't tell me they didn't know when they got back from Babylon. And the building of the temple, 49 years. They knew it. And the very psalm that David said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? All my bones, they stare at me. They wagged their heads, they passed by me. 850 years beforehand, when David sung that song in the Spirit, was considered prophecy and given. They were singing those songs in the temple when the same sacrifice was hanging on the cross with his feet pierced. They pierced my hands and feet. See? Why? They were living in a glare. They didn't see the light. Now look, let's get this flat. Organization can never apply present truth. That's my comment. Organization can never apply present truth. It's just impossible. I don't care what anybody says, it won't cut. There's no way you can have your name on a church book and be in the kingdom of God. It's absolutely impossible to have a denominational affiliation. See? Could you imagine a sensible person doing that? No more than I can imagine a sensible person running down the basement, getting in, pulling his doors together and shut. I refuse to see there's light. It's insanity. His spirituality slips somewhere. When a man sees that the Bible has promised this and see it living right out before him and made manifest and then continually stays in those creeds and things out there that reject it. It's a spiritual delinquency. It's exactly right. Here he was now. He was the light of the world. The world didn't know him. Came to his own knew him not. Came to the world was made by him and the world knew him not. See? But as many as did know him, to them gave he power to become sons of God, then believed in him. Remember, we cannot live by yesterday's light. Yesterday's light is gone. It isn't anymore. Yesterday's sunlight is only a memory. It's history. We cannot live in yesterday's light. Though it's the same sun, but each day it brings forth its strength a little stronger to ripen the grain. Now, what's he saying there? Coming more and more into the church. The Holy Spirit coming more and more into the church. Now, I want to try to clear some points up here that were difficult for me over the years. They're not hard anymore because of the presence. The sun comes today, gets a little stronger. Each day now, get a little stronger, until finally the week that's lying there, it'll go taking light. After a while, that light will come up. Then a little stronger. March, April, May, June, July, she's in harvest then. You see, the same sun shining today in January or December, that's up there bathing that snow and melting it down on that grain, bringing it water is the same sun, but that wheat cannot live in that same sunlight in June, see? It can't do it. See, the sun comes a little stronger. There's no way the wheat will live in December sun. You know that as well as I do. The grain should be a little more matured to receive the sunlight. See, now where are we today? That's the question. That's what's the matter today. The grain that was sown in the early fathers back there in Luther and Wesley, in them it was dwarfed. It can't take the sun. The sun killed it. It refused to grow, see? It took itself from the stalk, and come over here, and made itself a little, its own little thing, and become a husk. No life in it. The grain should be maturing and getting stronger as the sun becomes stronger each day. Now, that's like epiphania. See, the brightness. The brightness when he confronts the Antichrist. The brightness, no doubt, when the heavens are rent. Now, he's coming more and more into the church in clouds of glory. In waves of light. See, the illumination is getting greater. It lights one and blinds the other. Now, let's watch a minute. We watch the church ages. There's 7 church ages. In those church ages, each one, watch how he spoke to them, and what would do, each one would do, how the grain would mature and come down to this last hour here, this last hour we're living in. So the churches must do the same thing, see. Now look, Luther sowed a grain. Now watch, Luther sowed a grain, and Luther was a grain. See, he sowed it. All right, so was Wesley. And also, so was Pentecostal. So was Baptist, the Nazarene. But you see now, Luther would not go back and live in the light of the first denomination, Catholic. No, sir. He was another light. That was God ripening something. Now, a little minority out of that Lutheran revival. Then along come Wesley revival. Then in that, why, they couldn't go back and do with the Lutherans. Now, how could they? They'd gone to sea. They botched everything up. See? Now, look, Lutherans today are no more like than old Martin Luther than nothing, because I've read some of his books. All right? Then along came Pentecostals. Then the Pentecostals organized and did the same thing, took the husk. Notice, but the grain goes right on. Now we're in another age. Now they said, Brother Branham, you're a prophet. That's a prophet speaking. Turn the corner. We're in the bright age, see? Why won't they receive it? Why won't they see that the grain is matured? Now, you're not talking about people maturing as though they're the most marvelous people under God's high heaven. You're talking about a word coming up. The maturing of the word to the place where it's running its course. Where the Holy Spirit is running its course. And every time there's a people to match it. See? Don't make the people great things, make the word great things. Make the people incidentals. You see, how to do that? Just consider them vessels. Vessels in a great house are made for two purposes, honor and dishonor. See? Again, like it says. He said, what is great in the temple or the gold? When people say the gold, he said, you fool, the temple sanctifies the gold. See? You gotta watch where you put it. Why won't they see that the grain is maturing? Here's the promised word for this day. See? That's why it's not character. That's why it's not fruit. See? Nearness to God. Miracles. Obedience. What are you looking for? Matured word. The word of the hour. See? You know, a lot of people don't understand how that during inflation, countries go broke. People thought the German mark would come back. Even when I was a kid, we'd bring out these big, long German marks for hundreds of thousands of marks. Fat. Ain't no more going to come back than the dodo. In fact, he's got a better chance coming in the resurrection. That German mark ain't going to be no resurrection. The dodo, if there is a dodo bird, and he's extinct, he'll be back. That's right. God doesn't lose anything. The devil can't create, so the dodo is going to get back, but not the German mark. You know, people just don't, they just don't understand. That mark is gone. The word is gone. There's a new currency in the land. There's a new faith. This is the hour of rapturing faith. See? It's a revelation. How many people read Brother Branham's revelation on the rapture? Ha! We got a little Pentecostal pussycat preachers right now that can't stand the fact that I say it's in transition. It's progressive. Well, if you miss the show, you ain't going to be in the voice. I can tell you that. You've done shot your wad right now. If you're not in this message, you will never be in the resurrection. Forget it. And I'm talking now about immortality. Here's the promised word of this day. You see, the word and the people are one. Luther sowed a grain, and Luther was a grain. William Branham sowed a grain, and William Branham was a grain. And the people are grain. Why don't they see it? They're living in a Lutheran glare, Wesleyan glare, Baptist glare, Pentecostal glare, living in the glare of another light. That's the reason they can't receive the light of the total word, being vindicated as God promised them. In the first place, they don't believe in a partial word. You say, look, there's a word for every age. They say, fat. Here's the Bible, bless God, we got it. I'll say, hold it right now. Why aren't you immortal? Well. Oh, Pentecostal pussycats, fat. Don't even talk of the Methodist Baptists. They've been dead for 150 years. The Pentecost got rigor mortis right now. That jerking around is the last signs of death. Certainly it is. Bill's my kind of a guy. Mary doesn't like that, but I do, Mary. Put these women in their place, kid. Hock my amen corner, will you? Yeah, we're just good friends here, no problem. They're living in the glare of another light. They're afraid to drop their candles. What do you want a candle for? That's the reason they can't receive the light of the total word being vindicated as God promised of them. Seven seals. Now the word of the hour is total vindicated word. And the seven seals must be revealed before us or something wrong. Now not the full manifestation. To have that, you got to go plumb into the millennium. Further down the road. Now, seven seals where the whole mystery was revealed. Would come back and tell why these mysteries was done like that. And when that comes in, they walk further away from it than ever. There without excuse. That which is perfect has come. All right. Okay. I'm going to pull a dirty trick on you. Lloyd, tell me, what is this over here? I'm going to pick on you, Lloyd, because you're my favorite whipping boy. Maybe I get old Dave. Dave gets all the hard work. I'm going to let him off the hook tonight. Okay, what do you understand that we preach here concerning the that which is perfect has come? Now let me read it for you. For we know in part, and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which in part should be done away. What do we understand here? What has been in part until this hour, but is no longer in part? What's he talking about? When that which is perfect has come, the part is done away, and this prophecy which is in part. Yeah, what else? Baptism of the Holy Ghost. Yep. Hip stronger with the word there, because so many people won't understand about the Holy Spirit. That the Holy Spirit and the word are literally identical. The measure of the Spirit and the measure of the word is one. And now let me show you why it is. See, I'd like to ask you a question because I want to know just how you can answer these questions just as perfectly as possible. Unto the messenger of the church which is in Ephesus write, these things said he that holds the seven stars in his right hand, who walks in the midst of seven golden candlesticks, and he brings a message. Now, in other words, he's bringing a word for that age. All right, that's the first section of seven messages, part number one. Now watch. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says. So the Spirit is dealing with the word. One message, one Spirit for every age. Seven spirits before the throne. Seven portions of word. And at the end time, you have the last person coming in, and it's a prophet. So therefore, there are no more parts. There is no more revelation. It is over. That which is perfect has come and hasn't got a thing to do with the gift of prophecy. It's the measure of the word. You say, where did he get that from? I'm glad you asked the question. I love people to ask intelligent questions. I'll take you right away to the answer. It's over here in Hebrews, the first chapter. God, in many parts and many ways, spake in time past unto the fathers in the prophets. How did he do it? Over a period of time in sections. And what did it come to? Christ. What do we come to now? Him. Okay. Let's keep reading. Very good. Very good. Always keep the measure of the Spirit and the word the same. Do you understand why Brother Branham said it the way he said it? All right. And when that comes in, they walk further away from it than ever. And when Wesley came on the scene, the Catholics went further than ever. And when Wesley came on the scene, did I say Luther the first time? I said Wesley. I'll backtrack. When Luther came on the scene, Roman Catholicism went further away than ever because the light struck and they turned it down. When Wesley came on the scene, the Lutherans backed off. When Pentecost came on the scene, the Wesleyans backed off. And William Branham came on the scene and we're on the scene, Pentecostals back off. Therefore, they miss it further than ever. Follow me? That's what the prophet said. All right. As Brother Branham said, always looking forward, always looking back, never know what's going on. God has done it through Spirit, through revelation. Spirit and Word, right? Spirit's revealed Word. He's proved it perfectly by science and everything else that it's the truth. And still they want to live in a Pentecostal glare. I'm the Assemblies. I'm Oneness. I'm Church of God. I'm this. See, living in the glare of an age, 40, 50 years ago, living in a Lutheran glare, Wesley, Baptist, Presbyterian, or some organized, or some Nazarene glare of another church age that went on and organized and did the same thing and refused and rejected the light when it's actual shining. They're living in a mirage. See? In other words, there is no way that you can interpret the word of the hour from a dogma. And the rapture has been a dogma until now. Okay, Dave, you're the guy I'm going to pick on next. Give me very quickly the doctrine of the rapture from Brother Branham's exposition of the word. What is really the doctrine of the revelation of the rapture? First Thessalonians 4, start quoting. Right. And what is the voice? What is the shout? Yep. What are the three of them? Yep. And what's the shout come to? Right. And you get to the rapture. Okay, you show me any book anywhere that believes that. I talked to a friend of mine the other night. He's a very astute fellow. He's been through Moody Bible. He's read everything under high heaven more than I've ever done, more than I will do. And I said, listen, I said, I'm going to tell you about Ephesians 1. And I taught him over the phone, about a two-hour conversation, what I taught you. And I said, I'm going to tell you something you've never read and you've never heard. And that is the Spirit of God comes into the church. And I explained it. And he said, no, Lee, I have never, ever heard it. Or anybody else ever did either. Now, where did I get that from? William Branham. Now, you see, that's what he says here. You cannot interpret the Scripture. Receive the revelation in the glare of anything. You have got to get rid of your own thinking. And you just got to say, bless God, the shout is the message. That's what I did the night I heard it. I got kind of tickled with my stupidity. Well, praise God. And I'm not a paragon of virtues like these nice boys out there that, you know, they're so wonderful. I say that reverently, see, but you're not to hurt you, but to wake you up. You're living in a mirage where Jesus said a mirage is like water from rays. Anybody ever seen a mirage? A real definite mirage. You seen them? Prairies is where you see them. Oh, you're hallucinating. Let me tell you something. Let me tell you about a real mirage. In the southern part of Alberta, where I used to live, there were grain elevators, elevators 10 miles away. You can no more see those elevators, nothing. Yet one morning, those elevators were just 1 mile down the road, as clear could be. That's a mirage. It is a mirage. It is a mirroring of something that has no right to even be projected in front of you. And just as sure as I sit here, I saw those elevators and I was tickled pink because I knew all about mirages from what people told me. But this one I saw myself. You know, I heard a lot about light coming in Wesley Day and Luther's Day and Pentecost, but I got this light. I seen it for myself. All right, a mirage. Okay. You're living in a mirage, where Jesus said, why you're blind and you're leading the blind. He tried to tell them to let loose of it. Let them alone. If the blind lead the blind, they'll all fall in the ditch. Okay? That's the hour I've come to. If they're going to stagger, I can't help it. Now, he's said, I've come to the hour where the blind are going to lead the blind. Now, we better be very humble and very careful here in case there's a blind man here in the pulpit. There's a bunch of blind people in the pews. Pretty serious. I've done all I can do. I've done exactly. I've done this at your command, Lord. You're a witness. Both God and the people, see? Since 1933 down the river, and that light there you see shine down, it's been right here in the tabernacle and witnessed to all these years. And everything that said's come to pass, continue to go on. Let the blind lead the blind. I'll just wait for that hour. He'll arrive one of these days. Now, what's he talking about? The word of the hour in association with that light. What's he talking about? Well, Brother Branham, you know, he's not very smart. And he doesn't believe that the teacher said, always tell the people you've changed your point of view when you're talking about something else. Like, here's John, he's describing a horse. And he forgets he was describing a horse, and he said, yes, and it has a pouch. And it bounces up and down on his hind legs, balancing itself in his tail, and climbs the tree, and swings through the branches. He's talking about a horse, a kangaroo, and a monkey. Well, listen, Brother Brown isn't some kind of an idiot. He's talking about the glare and then talking about this. It's over in 1933. It was tragically over. You are now coming to the ripening sun. You are turning the corner and coming into the age of this hour. See, he said, blind leading the blind. All right, that's what it is. Where are they going to fall? In the ditch. And that's where old Paderis brought that out years ago. The old boy down there in Gastonia, Carolinas. And he said, he took the scripture, he said, a whore is a deep ditch. Speaking of the fact of the harlot organization. And you will fall into it. In other words, the blind will go right into organization. They're in it now. Notice, living in the glare of Luther. Living in the glare of Wesley. Living in those glares back there. That's the reason they can't see the true light. That's logical. You ever try to look down and see the light in your speedometer when somebody's flashing his big bright beams in your eyes? 2 minutes. Just pick up the Bible, read it. They would see that this is the light promised for this hour. What light? The Lord himself shall descend and shout with the voice of the archangel of God. Now we're going to take some of these things in a minute. He promised, according to Malachi 4, these things would happen. What's one of the things? Behold, I send you Elijah the prophet. And he'll turn the hearts of the children back to the fathers. That's the Omega of the Alpha. Now, what is the turning of the hearts of the children back to the fathers? Well, as simple as ABC. Just go where it happened. In Luke, the first chapter, verse 17. He shall go before the Lord God of Israel. That's in human flesh. And the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. Those ignorant of the word, that's what it means. The ignorant. No longer ignorance. No longer can they plead ignorance. Why could they plead ignorance? Oh, Israel said, well, we really didn't know, you know, after all, what? Didn't Titus come and wipe them out? He said, one stone be left upon another. He said, wipe you out. Were they wiped out? Then don't plead ignorance. There's none so blind as them that won't see. Turning the giving light and revelation on the presence and on the word of the hour is turning the heart back. Okay. Now Israel, also our type in the journey, eating manna, which was their light life. Their light life, they gave them strength. There's no strength in anything that's dead. Rotten food's no good for it. Give it to them in poison. Israel could not eat manna that was yesterday had fallen. It was contaminated. It was rotten. It was no good for them. They'd die over it. The manna that kept them alive yesterday would kill them today. That's why denominations are dead. The Bible said it got germs in it, contaminated. Little wiggle worms, wiggle tails, the brother man said. Mealybugs. Manna. Isn't it funny how people don't like the man of the hour? Serpent seed. No women preachers. That put the kibosh on the Pentecostals. That's like putting hokey pokey on the cows. They won't come back to your pastor and tell you that. That's like giving them a little shot of something that irritates them. The people that live on the man of Luther, Wesley, and them back there, they're eating contaminated stuff that kills you off spiritually. It's killing you dead in your traditions. Yesterday, Luther's manna would not work for Methodists. No, of course not. His brother Brand said, show me an organization that had a revival. Ha! Huh. See? That's why you always got big trumped up programs. Because the revival's dead. How many bucks did they, just tell me how many dollars the apostles raised in Jerusalem to go down the road and preach the gospel? Why, they had a big drive on for money. Sounds a little bit Pentecost, doesn't it? Hogwash. Luther's manna was a message of justification. Wesley's manifestation of sanctification. Pentecost restoration and gifts. Now listen, but this is introducing the headstone. The last day. The bride tree. Is contrary to all of it. And yet, it's the same light for the matured. Like the same sun shone today, will be shining for the grain in the harvest in July. See what I mean? When did he preach that sermon? Preached in December. Wasn't doing anybody good, was it? The grain. Got it. Wait till back in July to get the harvest. He's right, too. That's when it comes. It's stronger. The wheat's more advanced. It's ready to take it. You mean to say only the wheat can take serpent seed? Well, I think you guessed it. You mean only the wheat can take predestination? Well, you certainly said the truth. What stumbles people all over the world? Predestination. Could you imagine anybody say they believe this message and not believe predestination? Or they're all gommed up. Everything that they're trying to do is interpret from their Pentecostal tradition. Oh, man, listen. You know what, a brother, sister, I tell you what. If I was anything but what I was backing those guys, and I had one modicum of deference toward Brother Branham, I'd just plumb leave the church I was in and get me a deck of cards and get on the pool. That's the best I could do. I'm going to tell you why. Death is death.
Amen.
You hear of the man that ran from the bear and got killed by a lion? That's in the Bible. Or vice versa. What was it? He got scared by a lion and the bear got him? That's your Bible. He got afraid, put his hand against the wall, bug might bite him, and he went someplace else, and a snake got him. I don't say you should quit church and run with a deck of cards somewhere. I'm just telling you, death dead is dead. I'm just trying to make a picture here to let you know. Look, we're not looking back and saying, "Hey, you know something? I believe there's something good back there." The life is out of the food. The life is moving from justification to sanctification, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Now the Holy Ghost himself. Now, you can't go against God's nature. He's got a law. And to go against that law kills your plan. You've got to go according to God's spoken laws. And his law is his word. Any law is a spoken word. Or word spoken. And a word is a thought manifested. Now we know that. That's true. A vision is what? The word of God or something foretold or forecast of an event. And the vision that the prophet had and Jesus had, Paul had, all of them had, that tell of this day was the forecast of what would happen. Now here we see the forecast being made manifest and the people don't recognize it. See? In other words, this is my interjection. The light, to go to the light, they missed. Catching the attention, to go to the Word, to see Him. Light, light, light. See? Now, yesterday's manna, look here. Did you ever notice the sun as you went has traveled east to the west? As it went each time. Did you notice that? And notice. The church ages did the same thing. The S-U-N started in the east. As civilization has traveled with the S-U-N, God's spoken light for them to live in. Because it's spoken back in Genesis. They've come on. Follow the sun, S-U-N, see where it's going. They just kept traveling with it. Life itself, when you were born, is like the sun. You go right on to the setting of the sun. From your birth to the setting of the sun. Man has traveled westward always. The oldest civilization we have is China in eastern countries. Jerusalem. And notice she keeps traveling westward as it goes. And as it goes on and on to the west, so has the church traveled the same way by the S-O-N of God. Look, Paul, the early church started in the east. It went from there, jumped across the sea to Germany. Made three poles, looking. From Asia, in Palestine, it jumped into the ocean to Germany and across the continent too. That was Luther. It jumped from Luther across the English Channel to England by Wesley. And from Wesley, she jumped to the west coast of the United States. Notice he bypassed the Pentecost. Wife is a carrier. Pentecost did not have any true identification. It's a complete hodgepodge. In there they had eternal security and falling away. In there they had one God and three gods, I guess, and two gods. In there they had women preachers and no women preachers. In there they had this, that, and the other thing. It had no real identification. It was an absolute hodgepodge. It was waiting for this hour of the identification. And it threw it aside. Now, it jumped across the water. And that, and this, if you could go any further, you can't, is coming back east again. This is the evening time. Look how the church ages have fallen. Luther, Paul, first back in the early age. Then come down the line to Iranians and so forth, go down to France, to Germany, to England, go west, west, west. Now we can't go any further. That's right. This is the last age. What does the Bible say about the last age? See, and geographically, chronologically, and almost any way you want to take it, scripturally first, scripture of course first, evidence, historically, any way you want to take it, we're at the end, the last church age. Geographically, chronologically, time-wise, historically, spiritually, you name it, we're there. One place to go, Israel. When it goes back there, it's all over for the end time. Now watch. As it went forward, it grew stronger and stronger. Well, that's sure going to cause some eyebrows to raise. Because they say, you Branhamites, you're about the pukiest, puniest bunch under God's high heaven. And I don't know that anybody can please you. Oh, I think so. Brother Branham's very pleasing to us. He introduces the Lord, and he's extra good pleasing to us. And we're having a good time. I don't see anything. I don't know what they're kicking about. There's no use in analyzing me because I'm not up for psychoanalysis, especially their kind. Because although I have spoken in tongues, I don't put that as evidence. And though I once was Pentecostal, I've been purged. The prophet didn't have to hold my nose and pull out my tongue and slap something on it. I had my tongue already hanging up for some major changes. sometimes the medicine was a little bit difficult, but it turned out real good. Turned out real good. It grew stronger. And so as the real little minority of the church growing from justification, sanctification, baptism of the Holy Ghost, and now to the coming capstone, shaping itself up. Now, you keep these things in mind. Watch here. We might not get that tonight. It's getting late. Take them around pretty soon. No more organizations after this. There won't be no more. See, can't be. We're on the west. Just to show you. Through all types and everything else. And look at those three jumps, three poles. We'll get to that tonight. We're at the end time. The S-U-N travel like the S-O-N. S-O-N like S-U-N. The church has come the same thing from the seventh church age, from the seven church ages and so forth. Civilizations moved right to the west, and the church has moved right on to the west. And now, if we go any further than what we are now, we must come back east again. Okay? See, let's look at missionary effort. It radically went east, it spread, and it stopped. Because there wasn't the way to travel. Then it moved west. Now, when it came to America, how much America went back into Europe to really missionary. They went down to Africa, especially south, to shine in various places. See? Now, what I'm just trying to show here is the fact that no matter how you look at it, you'll see it was progressively moving to the west. There's only one place you can really go, and that'd be back to Palestine. See, Brother Branham brings this out, and so many people don't even believe it. They don't see it. It becomes, you know, something, well, who he needs to talk about that, you know. And now if we go any further than what we go now, we come back east again. You cannot leave the west coast. You can leave the west coast. You leave the west coast. You go right to China, Japan, and back again. So that's to Palestine. 7,000 miles across, you go east again. So east and west has met. That's all of it. We're at the end. There's nothing left. The same thing has happened today. It happened back there. The same thing is met at the west that was met at the east. The people, now watch what he's bringing up. The people living in the glare of another light that was absolutely trying to show forth the light was to come and reject it because they got the glare instead of the light. And there was great light in the land of the Gentiles, Zebulun, Naphtali, and Galilee, the land of the Gentiles. Let's go back and take a look at that. That's in Matthew, 4th chapter. I think it is, yeah. Now, 12 verse. Now, when Jesus had heard that John was cast into prison, he departed into Galilee. And leaving Nazareth, he came and dwelt in Capernaum, which is upon the sea coast in the borders of Zebulun and Naphtali, that it might be fulfilled which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, the land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by way of the sea beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. Now, you got an example here that points to the Gentiles. There weren't a bunch of Gentiles there to get saved. He even rebuked the woman the Syrophoenician woman. He said, you can't give the children's bread to dogs. He said, don't go to the city of Samaria even. He said, stay home. It was only afterward they could go to Samaria and other parts of the world. Now, verse 16. The people which sat in darkness saw great light. And to them which sat in the region and shadow death, light is sprung up. And Jesus began to preach and say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. At this hour, what we're talking about, when light strikes the Gentiles. See, at the end time. That's when it's all over. Now let's go to Matthew 12. Now Brother Branham took this, I took Matthew 12 for his ministry. Now, he's healing the sick left and right, casting out devils, everything else in Matthew 12. Now watch verse 15. When Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and healed them all. Now Brother Branham actually healed every single person in somebody's meeting. And charged them that they should not make him known. Now Brother Branham isn't Jesus Christ, it's a duplicate ministry. That it might be fulfilled, which is spoken by Isaiah the prophet, saying, behold my servant, whom I have chosen, my beloved, and whom my spirit is well pleased. I put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Now, this one here would show judgment to the Gentiles. And when he does, he will not strive, nor cry, neither any man hear his voice in the streets. Now, that didn't happen when Jesus was in Israel, because everybody heard his voice, and he had called it. He was a real rabble-rouser, so to speak. Wherever he went, there was almost a riot. This says no way. A bruised reed he shall not break, smoking flax he will not quench. Now, that's the end time. That's when the thing has run its course. The reed is bruised. It's brittle. It's dry. It'll break. You can't use it. The smoking flax is when the oil is gone. The churches are smoking flax. They're brittle. Ready for the burning. At this time, he comes in Matthew 24. And Luke 17 is a light to the Gentiles. Okay? Now, one place, it's a word ministry mentioned. Isaiah 42 and Matthew 4. Over here, it is a miracle ministry and a word ministry. Now, you watch the miracle ministry, the power ministry, as we get to it here. Hopefully, we'll get to it tonight. Now, this is the seventh church age. Remember, and each time that sun begins to shine in the east is the same sun that shines in the west. Now, he's telling you there, Alpha's Omega, the same ministry has to repeat. Now, look, in Jesus, God had made a body for sacrifice for sin. This is not the case at this hour. The body is not necessary. It is the light. And the ministry vindicates the light. Shows what it is. That's why they crucified themselves, the Son of God afresh, but they can't do it. They try to do it. And they're the ones that get it. Because they go into suffering, which is the tribulation. Now, and the same Spirit that's been all down through the ages, just like the same sun today, only what is it? Just like ripening in the season. The sun that's now will be the same sun that ripens the grain this fall, this autumn. See, what is it? It's this sun plus what it will be. Now, what? He said, the sun is moving to ripen the grain. It's got to be a powerful, strong sun to ripen the grain. But the sun that brings it from a little shoot to the leaves, to the stamens, the pollen, the chaff, the whole thing, is the same sun, the same life, stronger until here it is. So the Spirit's getting stronger and stronger, and the Word's getting stronger and stronger. And it's bringing to maturity. See, it's the sun plus what it will be. The wheat plus what it'll be up to here. The sun, same thing, plus what is up here. It all lies in there. But it's moving. See, this understanding of Brother Branham, there is no way you can place it with creeds and dogmas. I'm sorry, Luther never saw it, and Wesley never saw it, none of them saw it. Couldn't see it. They knew it was there, but they couldn't see it. And today in this last age is what they were plus this. That's why this message is the same message that's always been preached plus. There's no change in the basic. But we're not back in justification anymore, nor in sanctification, nor in gifts. We're coming up to the Holy Spirit Himself. We'll see that all through here in a minute. Well, not maybe not a minute, but it's here. I just let you warning you ahead of time. And yet they want to live back there as a dwarf. Go down the old musty denominational basement and creed and pull their blinds down and say, I just refuse to say it. It's all nonsense. When the very Bible that they claim to believe is being identified by the same Holy Spirit bringing light in the last days. Now, do you listen, brother, sister? Do you believe for 1 minute that the people believe that Brother Branham had the same Spirit that was in Pentecost? They'll say, no way. He cheats us only, forget it. There's something wrong with the guy. Now, if it's not the same Spirit, you tell me what it is, because there's only one, there's only two spirits. One's God, one's the devil. They're already blaspheming the Word and don't know Him. Did you notice and watch real close in Malachi how He allotted it? The faith of the fathers to the children and the children to the fathers. See? The same Spirit. Where it raised back yonder, where it raises here again, the same thing. See? Just vice versa exactly. Setting right back again. Coming the whole thing. Cause why? East and west is met. See? Just exactly right under our note, faces. He says, face, I say, Moses. Yet they don't see it. Why? No wonder Jesus let them alone. They're blind. Blind lead the blind. They all fall in the ditch. Didn't say some fall. You know, some people got an idea. This little foxy loxy deal, you know. Where foxy loxy, he has his whole bunch of geese and chickens behind him, and then he sidesteps so they all fall in the pit, and then he picks them one at a time. And people think, you know, well, I'm a wonderful church. I'm a great guy. That's not me. At the right time, I'll escape. He ain't gonna escape. See, this is why the rapture is progressive. You understand why there's a shout? If you're not part of the shout, you're not going to be part of the voice. Aren't you? Anybody says. You watch the people that turn down the presence as we teach it here. You say, well, who do you think our brother there? Oh, I left Child of God to the ministry. Who do you think I was? Why are you sitting here? If I'm anything less, you better beat it now. Don't bother coming back because you're kidding yourself. Well, you say, man, you're talking pretty hard. Well, listen, what do you think? You think for 1 minute I don't expect to meet him out here? Come on. I'm getting out of here. There'll be a milestone this fall. You watch and see, there's a milestone last fall. That's what they're doing this summer, too, this fall. You say, how do you know? Maybe I don't know anything. Maybe I'm just guessing. I like guessing. I like thinking my thoughts. Sure. Man says, I refuse to see it. See? No good. Same spirit. All right? The light of other ages only reflected this light. Now watch. The light of other ages only reflected this light. In other words, it was already there and was shooting up. In other words, life is never self-contained, as though it is contained by boundaries. Can't do it. The light moves. Because it's light. See? All right. The sun today only reflects. Here's the reflection of the sun that will be this July or August, if God wills, for the harvest. See? Same sun. Then. But not full strength. In other words, the promise fulfilled under Luther is the same promise being fulfilled under Wesley, coming into Pentecost and coming right up to this hour, but you're getting closer and fuller. Because what do you want to do? You want to get back to Eden. That's what you're made for. Okay. For the harvest. The sun, S-U-N of Luther, Martin Luther, Wesley, Sankey, Finney, Knox, Calvin, Moody, all them others, those great men back there that had that light. And John Smith, the Baptist Church, Alexander Campbell, the Camelites, Church, and so on, called Disciples of Christ, Christian Church, whatever more names they got to them. All them men back there in their ages was only reflecting what it would be here at the end. Why, sure, because it's one bride, one word. But remember, coming up to the wheat plant is life. And the wheat seed is in the wheat plant, but the wheat seed is not the wheat plant. The carriers get burned. Or come up in the second resurrection, whatever comes out of their seed. And then here the children immediately after them founders, what did they do? They didn't stay on the stalk. They pulled away, made themselves a little husk out there to get away from the real source of life. You know? And here today, what about today? Just think, the old husk of yesterday, see, don't plant it back there, it's rotten. It cannot stay with it, no sir. It will not do any good, it won't grow. It's off the light. The word is the life, that's right. The husk drops off. The little old beard falls away, things like that. It just denominates itself and drops off. It's got to, see, it's got to go somewhere and do something. It refuses to go on with the light. It's carrier, but the light vindicates it. Oh my, yes sir. How we ought to see that. See, the rotten things of yesterday, don't eat them today. It's got worms. You know, little wiggletails, what I call them. I don't know. I don't know much about germ life, but I know we all got wiggletails. It gets in everything when it gets a little rotten, see? But I'm going to tell you something else about wiggletails. They'll get in where there's good eating, too. That's where you get the three kind of believers. Just thought I'd chuck them in there. Wormy, wormy. And don't forget, Brother Branham said the crow can sit on the same roost that the dove sits on. And I remember what I told you. The crow will eat dove food till he gets a whiff of his own good food. And he's off to the races. You never notice that? They can't help it. Come on. What do you think this ministry is so messed up for? See, look, I never fuss much about the pew because, you know, fiddle diddle, that's your business. But I sure fuss about the ministry. Not that I've got anything to write home about as far as I'm concerned, but I look out there and I see those things, man alive. Remember, you say, then why was it good yesterday? If you only knew that the very little hull that was on the wheat at the beginning, if it abides in the grain, it makes the grain further. That's the very thing that makes the wheat flour, is what was yesterday. But if it separates itself from the grain and don't mature, then it goes away. Because you see, the life is going on and it's taking form. And one form has got to be destroyed. Another form has got to be kept. Now don't forget that, dear people. Amen. Like the Queen of England once, she went to a great paper company. And she said she would like to go through the paper mill. So they showed her the paper mill many years ago before they made out of pulp and stuff like that. And after a while, she'd come to ruin nothing but a big old pile of dirty rags. She said, where did this come from? What's this? And they said, we're going to make paper out of those dirty rags. She said, make paper? That make paper? Sure. So she couldn't hardly believe it. So after she was gone, the man took the same dirty pile of rags and ran them through a certain process and brought them out with clean, pure paper, you know, put them through the process and made real fine and put her profile on it and sent it to her, reflecting herself in this, what she called dirty rags. Now that's what it is. The dead things of yesterday, the message of Luther, the message of Wesley, the message of Pentecost, it can only go through the process of God's Holy Spirit and the word of vindication. It'll come, bring forth reflection of Jesus Christ the King. Amen. But if you leave it lay, it's dirty rags. You see, we don't throw away the truth of justification, sanctification, or gifts or things. We don't throw that away. But you're going on. Because the life has moved on. See? You don't take a little baby and say, hey, you know, there was a time that you couldn't even crawl, so you better sit there. What fun do you get out of a child that can walk? And you're trying to show everybody, your relatives, how the baby can walk, and the dumb little critter flops and starts crawling. Get off your knees. Why go back to Luther? The same baby, strength is coming up. Pretty soon, won't only get off his knees and climb trees and flying trapeze and pole vaulting. Work hard and see, because it's maturing. It says it's processing. Luther's age of justification, we believe that. See, we do. Wesley's sanctification, we believe that. Pentecostal restoration and gifts of the Holy Ghost, we believe that, certainly. But molded all together, what do you come up with? Jesus. Right. The same yesterday, today, and forever, you come up with Jesus. We're pointing right to it. When it runs its course, what comes next? Jesus. See, people can't understand. The message is so simple, the message is so simple, it's staggering. All right. See? Let's look at this pile of dirty rags. Are we running out of time there, Willie? Oh, my goodness me. Oh, that's fine. We'll use it. Let's go to Philippians here, the third chapter. Sixth verse. A fourth verse. What he said, though I might have confidence in the flesh. If any man thinks he's got something to boast of and trust in the flesh, I got a whole lot more. Circumcised 8D, a stock of Israel, tribe of Benjamin, Hebrew the Hebrews, such in law, Pharisees, Sadducees, and so on. Touching zeal, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, such in righteousness of the law, blended. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, but I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord. Now you say, well, just a minute. Paul, do you feel you don't know me? He says, sure I know, men on pillar fire. And I want to see him face to face in human flesh. For whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them but manure. Sammy win Christ. There's your filthy rags. There's your old dirty papers, your old rags. There's your old manure. See? Got to get rid of it. See? Okay, you got to come to Jesus. Now that's where we're heading. We're heading right up there. Justification, sanctification, baptism, Holy Ghost himself, Jesus. When a man's on the foundry making a bell, he's got a certain tone he's got to put in it. When he's setting his mold and pouring his iron, he puts in brass and steel and copper, just so much. Why? He's got to have it just exactly right to give it the right tone. That's what Jesus did with his bride. He had to put so much Luther, so much Methodist, so much Presbyterian, so much Pentecost, and what's he come up with? His own reflection. See, we're coming to maturity. Why is it? Just like pyramid message, you see, it's heaping right up till it's coming to the minority for the headstone. Tiny minority. A tiny minority will take the revealed word, which will bring the Holy Spirit in fullness down upon the bride. He's here. Sets himself to the church to raise it in. You see, it's heaping right up till it's coming to the minority for the headstone. Not minority of the headstone. It says for the headstone. Now watch. The ministry of Jesus Christ on earth has to be the same ministry he had, or he can't come to it. Now, I don't see that as the physical. Now, Brother Branham said, and we read the rapture tape, that when God shows the signs and wonders, it is to bring himself into favor with the people, which in plain English simply means the people know that it's God. Now then, if, as Brother Branham taught us, and we know by Matthew 4 and Matthew 12, that the very same things he did when he was here in the flesh must repeat when he is here in the spirit. See? Then you've got to have the same ministry to prove it's the same one in the spirit. See? That's bringing the capstone. The full revealed word in the word himself in spirit form. That's setting himself at the head of the church to raise the dead. The shout is what is doing it. Then when they're all here on earth, what happens? That same Spirit takes us up to where He, the Word, Jesus the Christ, glorified is. That Spirit incarnates Himself. We crown Him King, the King, and Lord of all. You see what I teach? All right, that's what we teach. That's what I believe is the truth. Now listen, the ministry of Jesus Christ on earth has to be the same as the ministry He had, or He can't come to it. He doesn't come to it. We go to Him. So this is not headstone, this is capstone we're talking about. Just like the head to the feet. The head. The feet's not the head. But the head packs the feet, or makes the feet, tells it where to go. You get it? Beautifully. It's the light of the hour. Wesley was a great light, like John the Baptist. He was a great light for his hour. Sure, I read it for you. Remember, I've quoted it. Yes, sir. The dirty rags of yesterday, if you remain that way, it's got to become dirtier still all the time. It served its purpose as clothing, but now it becomes paper. Now watch. Justification served its time in justification under Luther. Then it had to become sanctification through Wesley. And sanctification served its time till it came to the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost has served its time until the Holy Ghost. Now I ask a question. Has the baptism been here? Yes. Then who is to be here next? He. Now why can't they see that? They're blind. I'm sorry. Look, what am I supposed to do? Make God a liar? I made God a liar for man one time. I paid a price for it. Don't ask me to make God a liar. I got bad times now. No way. No way. No way. No way. No way. No way. And the baptism of the Holy Ghost has served its time until the Holy Ghost, which there's only one God, blends into the church, or the church into Christ. That makes Jesus Christ reflected on earth what He promised here in the Bible. Might not believe it. I can't make you do that. I'm only responsible to the Word. See, they don't believe what I'm saying. It's a revelation. Of course, I'm so smart, I can't get a revelation. I know it's in them books. So you see it. Do you see that? If you do, it'll be like the man one time went over to Wales during the time of the Welsh Revival. Now watch. A bunch of men went from the United States, so they go down. And they said they wanted to find out what building was holding this Welsh Revival. Many of you remember the Welsh Revival. Great revival broke out amongst the Welsh people in Wales. So these great big ministers and so forth from the United States, Doctors of Divinity, they wanted to go over and see what great things were done, you know. So they were walking down the street and they said, they met a little old policeman standing in the corner whirling his club around, whistling a hymn like that. And said, oh, he's just whistling a hymn. We might go up and see him, see what he's going to do, ask a question. They said, where is the Welsh Revival? He tipped off his hat and said, sir, the Welsh Revival is held in here, in his heart. He put in his heart. That's it. It was the Welsh Revival. Oh God, if we can only understand that we are the reflection of Jesus Christ, His Word made manifest. What have I been teaching on that, see? Preach three sermons. The Alpha, the Omega reflection. You people are the reflection of His Word. Now, remember, a mirror only reflects. Alright? God's Word beamed on the prophet beamed on us, and the same Word goes back and forms the same image. Now, where's the Welsh Revival head? What building? He said it's in the heart. He was the Welsh Revival, that's right. And today the church ought to be Jesus Christ in action upon the earth. Because I live, you live also. My life will be in you. The works that I do, you'll do also, see. Now that's been going on for some time. We've seen a lot of that, even before Brother Branham came on the scene. What do you do with Smith Wigglesworth? Dr. Price. What do you do with great men like Finney? Well, they were always there, indicating and vindicating He's the sender of St. James River. But this is a different hour. We've got all that plus. See? Now, the church has got to get to that place too. And He promised He would do it, and He will. It's got to come that way. So you see, that's what takes place. We got to be that way. He's the light. So was Noah the light in his day. He was the light. Noah was that light. He was the light to what? To make God's word, I will destroy man upon the earth that I've created, build an ark, and all desire to commit it will be saved. Now you see, what was Noah at that time? What portion of the word tells you to make God's word that said, I'll destroy man upon earth that I've created. Got to build an ark. And those that are supposed to come in will come in and be saved. Okay, Noah walked out and said, there's one way, that's an ark. And they said, crazy old fanatic. He was the word made manifest. Noah was the light of the hour, sure was. In his day, his age, he sprung forth the light. Now what did he manifest? He manifested the message of destruction and salvation to the very few. Moses was the light of his hour. What did he manifest? Come out of her and my people, go to the promised land. I'll visit you. God said to Abraham. That's concerning this Moses coming up with the people 400 years later. I'll come down, I'll take out of the people with a strong hand, I'll show my power in Egypt. And when Moses went up there, met the burning bush up there and found out the I Am was in that bush, Moses went down there and he was the light. John the Baptist was the light. But Moses was not that light. He was the light. And he witnessed to that light that met him. And that light made him a light, which was shedding light to the people upon the light. See? That's right. Okay. Amen. No wonder he could take some dust and blow it up and say, let there come peace on the earth. He had the word of God. When that happened, they knew he was witnessing to the light. Dust began to blow. Flies come in existence. Hallelujah. Please come in right here. Why? He was a manifestation of the light of God's word. I'll plague Egypt. He was a prophet. What did he say come to pass? He was light of day. He was the light of that day. He was God's light. What did Brother Brand just say back here a few pages ago? He said, I'm telling you, you're going to fall in the ditch. Yeah, I take my hands off and finish with you. You're going to fall in the ditch. He said, you wouldn't believe me? Well, you said, well, just a minute, believing Brother Brand's going to do it. What do you think I'm doing? And trying to do. Look, I've been through the gamut of Baptist, Presbyterian, Methodist, a whole bunch. Started as a Presbyterian, went United Church, which is a Methodist Presbyterian. Got into Pentecost. Just got worse as time goes on. Till one day God took pity of me in the hog pen. Cut me up. Now, Pharaoh might have had everything he wanted to have. And the rest of them. All the priests had what they wanted. But Moses was the light. Well, that's a real stinger right there, isn't it? Because he's talking about organization, Pentecost, a whole bunch. Why? He was showing forth God's word manifested. God promised, I'll bring them under a strong hand. I'll get glory to myself. Remember, three times in the rapture tape, he said, thus it has been spoken, thus it be. Shout, voice, trumpet. You can't escape it. See? Okay. The reason Moses proved that he could create, not because he wanted to create, because God told him to. Go to the congregation and say, tomorrow, the Lord God just spoke, take a handful of dust, throw it up in the sky like this and call for it. There's none here, but it'll be there. And then there's no fleas here, see, but it'll be there. Amen? Hope you're not asleep. Oh, manifestation. In other words, the prophet, William Branham, could make that word work. Just stood there and God did it. He said, I'm sent. God did say to our father, surely he'll visit us down here and take us out. Didn't God say he's going to have to put a rapture on this earth? Prophet came down and told us how. There's everything we need to know to put us in the rapture on the seven seals. Shout. That's what it is. From here on it takes a voice, raises, changes. Next it takes us up. Okay. I'm sent. Did God say to our fathers, he visits us down and takes us out? I'm coming to prove the hours at hand. Get rid of what you've got. Let's go. That's your thinking. Some of them said, well, I believe. And Dathan says, I don't think there's any hurry. We shouldn't get too excited about this. Looks like it failed 4 or 5 times. Just the same, it moved on. Why, he said. What's this business about the present? I've known he's been here all these years. Oh, well, we won't believe it at that point. They thought. They come out and said, we stone this Moses and get him away from us. We don't want him in our group here. Moses just moved right on anyway because he was the light. He was the light of the hour. What he had, what was it? God manifesting his promised word through Moses. And Moses was the light. Elijah was the light. Get out there and set in the hill. I've commanded the ravens to feed you. Amen. Yes, sir. He come down with thus saith the Lord. Not even dew will fall from him till I call for it. Amen. Sun might shine. You might call for all the clouds and do anything you want to do, but not even do what comes to light. Call for it. What was it? The light. Hallelujah. He was the light. The light. He was the Word of God made manifest. Why? Because he was the light pointing to the other light. The light to the light to the light. The man pointing to the Word that God would back up. Light, light, light. Light, light, light. Can't fail. Now you got to have a man to turn on the light. God doesn't do it by himself. There's got to be somebody there. See? So there you're looking at it. They thought he was crazy up there. He had porters feeding him and then starving to death. They wanted to live in tradition. Go ahead. Not Moses, or Elijah rather. He was right in the light, sitting up there by the book chair and having a good time. He had meals and somebody to take care of him and everything. They thought he was crazy, but he was the light. They say, hey, what become of the holy order we had around here? You know what? Somebody was hunting the other day and said they saw him standing up there that way, on top of the mountain there. I bet the little fellow's dried up by this thing. Oh no, he was the light. He was the light. He was the light of God for his day. You know, that's what they said about when he got raptured. The chariot came to him with you. Oh, they said, oh, fluky things happened before. What it was is, I know something took him up, but he's up there in the top mountain somewhere. He dropped him off. Didn't want him anyway. Oh, brother. John, when he was on earth, went up the wilderness to get his education, God, not the seminary. He had to introduce the Messiah. So when he come forth, Jesus, he said, was a bright and shining light. Hallelujah. Why? He was the Word manifested. Isaiah said so. That's right. He sent forth a voice in the wilderness crying, prepare the way for the Lord and make straight his way. The voice of one crying with us, here he come forth. What was he? The voice of one crying. What was he? Manifestation of the Word. In other words, he was the Word of God made flesh for that very Word.